everyone. It's a great privilege and honor to be speaking to you today about Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji. It's a challenging task in 12 minutes to present an overview of the a religious tradition as a whole, and I'm not going to attempt it. And instead, what I'm going to do is present a reflection, particularly on the work of Guru Gobind Singh Ji and life, but focusing on textual traditions that relate to him. And it's my view that Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji deserves to be known by everyone. He is an example of extraordinary spiritual leadership, as well as courage in adversity, as we've already heard today. After Guru Nanak Dev Ji, whose deep and profound insights into the nature of the divine and the place of humanity in the universe are known throughout the world, it is Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji who contributed most to the nature and form of Sikhism. Like Guru Nanak Dev Ji, he transcends the boundaries of his religion and offers insights and lessons that are universal in their value and appeal, some of which I'll draw attention to today. We know of Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji's life from sources such as the Bichitra Natak, the Gur Bilas, and the Suraj Prakash. These were not written for a modern audience. They share a commitment to truth that transcends the details of a life and attends instead to its significance, a significance that is then read into those details. I propose to adopt the same approach as they do, but my focus will be on the thought of Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji, as it is reflected in the Dasam Granth and elsewhere, and its significance for humanity as a whole. We know of Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji's thought from the compositions that he left to us, many of which are compiled in the Dasam Granth. It is a fact that the Sikh Panth has always been a home for truly great poetry, and Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji was no exception in this regard. What is exceptional is the range of poetic forms and languages of which Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji was a master. But it's often hard to separate the voice of a great religious leader from those of his prominent followers. And Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji is no exception in this regard, notwithstanding the efforts of scholars both within the Sikh Panth and beyond it. However, poems such as the Zafarnama, which is a defiant message from Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji to the ruler of the day, the Mughal Emperor Aurangzeb, seem so personal, so heartfelt, that it is impossible not to feel as if Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji is reaching out to you directly. For example, when he says, "Pursuit of truth is worship. It is an act of true piety. To know the true God is life's highest priority." He offers an expression here of not just the need to know God, but how one might do this. The idea of the pursuit of truth as piety is a very powerful one, precisely because of its open and exploratory character. Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji elegantly and forcefully captures something that is essential to Sikh tradition and to broader Indian philosophies. The world cannot be taken at face value. One must understand the world and the human condition in order to transcend it. More than this, truth as worship means that you must embody this understanding, as is reflected in the familiar markers of the Khalsa. As Gandhiji centuries later said, we need not wait to see what others do. The process of exploration can be philosophical. It is worth noting that Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji presided over the translation of the Upanishads and other great works of Sanskrit philosophy and theology. But it can also be highly practical and even political. That Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji meant both the former and the latter is clear from the searing courage of another verse from the Zafarnama. O King of Kings, the ornament that the two worlds does adorn, the kingdom of the earth is yours, but not so the heavenly one. Here, Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji addresses the Emperor of India himself in no uncertain terms. He dares nothing less than to call his moral character into question. He's not making a narrow point here about religious allegiance. Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji is not asking Aurangzeb to become a Sikh. He is reminding the emperor of the urgent need to connect heavenly and earthly realms. For Guru Gobind Singh Ji, there is no place for realpolitik. There is no place beyond the gaze of God, of morality, in which all things are permitted. There is only truth as piety and the rigors of such a life. These rigors include speaking truth to power when circumstances demand it. And that's something no less important today than it was centuries ago. It requires an absolute commitment to morality, whatever the consequences. The Zafarnama is, for me then, one of the great works of what we might call the world literature of defiance. It's also one of the great works advocating spiritual and moral consistency. Of course, a commitment to what is right can encompass a wide variety of moralities, not all of which are worthy of support. And it's here that Sri Guru Gobind Ji's absolute commitment to human equality is of critical importance. This commitment is forcefully and eloquently expressed in the Akal Ustad, the second Bani of the Dasam Granth, where Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji provides one of the signal statements of human equality, for which the Sikh tradition is justly famous. He says, "He has neither mother nor father nor any caste. He is not attached to anything, nor is he limited to any colour. He permeates in every human spirit. He is present in all beings and places." Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji goes further than the rejection of caste inequalities, however. He sees God everywhere and in all religious activities. At times, you are present in the Hindu reciting hymns from Gayatri, in the Muslim Qazi calling from the mosque. You are in the one who studied Koka's work or the Puranas, in the scholar studying tenets of the Quran. You are in those who followed the Vedas and in those who oppose them. Elsewhere in the Dasam Granth, we find the words, "All men have the same eyes, the same ears, the same body, the same build, a compound of earth, air, fire, and water." It's hard to imagine a more inclusive vision than that presented by Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji. Now, this lesson fills with content the Zafarnama's powerful expression of the need for moral consistency. The pursuit of truth leads to the consciousness of the equality of all before God. That must then be embodied in thought and deed. And we know that that's precisely what Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji sought to achieve in his lifetime. For me, and I'm saying this in closing, the global legacy of Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji is best summarized in the words of the Bijitanatak. In its sixth chapter, when Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji's life is described, there is a wonderful sequence in which God orders him to take birth in the Kali Yuga, which is, of course, the final age of humankind in the cycle of the universe. God concludes, after a rich description of his creation, that Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji's chief responsibility is to restrain the world from senseless acts. Now, this sentiment, once again, refuses to separate religion from society. And I think in today's world is as replete, which is as replete with senseless acts as ever a world could be, is just as important as it was at the time of its first expression. And in a parallel passage from the B40 Janam Sarkhi, which is an account of the life of Guru Nanak held in the British Library, you can go and see it, the first guru faces down, Nanak faces down the embodied form of the Kali Yuga, who appears before him as a towering demon. There, Guru Nanak Dev Ji states that in the age of Kali, he will offer kirtan and katha, song and story, in the Asha Andesha, the land of hope and fear. And I love that expression. And now that's a no less wonderful, but a somewhat different goal. It was Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji who pushed this goal into a deep engagement with the world. The world is, in the final analysis, for both Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji and Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji, when read sensitively, nothing less than an instruction manual for moral living. Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji invites us all to read with him, and crucially, to embody what we learn. 350 years after his birth, I can think of no more powerful teaching. Thank you.